Chapter 15: A two-stage model of role development. Definitions and preview. The definition of the term role. The term role is used in an extremely general way in this article, and it includes the set of behaviors associated with a particular occupation, such as physician, lawyer, professor, carpenter, plumber, electrician, soldier, etc. The word role also applies to other adult behavior patterns that are not associated with an occupation, such as husband, wife, father and mother. The term even applies to deviant or unusual behavior patterns, such as mugger, burglar, bank robber, drug addict, derelict, prostitute, homosexual, and even a mental patient when the condition is primarily environmentally based. The reason for this general definition is that all of the above fit this two-stage model of role development. However, from the perspective of this model, a brother, sister, aunt, uncle and in-law should not be considered roles because they do not fit the developmental pattern that this two-stage model deals with. A summary of this paper. This paper is divided into two separate parts. The summary of part 1 is as follows. The model deals with roles that develop in two stages, which is the case with most roles. The first stage is the development of a predisposition for a specific category or type of role, which usually happens in childhood. For example, predispositions may develop for the role of husband, father, teacher, lawyer, and psychologist. The predisposition is essentially the emotional and intellectual prerequisites that are needed for a role to develop. The above includes the morals, values, attitudes, motivations and basic knowledge needed for the very beginning stages of the development of a role. During childhood, many predispositions for specific types of roles may develop, with varying degrees of strength. However, only some of these predispositions will develop into roles. Stronger predispositions are more likely to develop into roles than weaker ones. Whether or not a predisposition develops into a role is determined by the individuals, groups and organizations that the individual gets successfully involved with. Thus, two individuals with the same childhood background and the same predispositions can develop very different roles in adult life, because they happen to get involved with different friends, groups, and organizations. Part 2 of this paper contains a more detailed discussion of predispositions and role development. This portion of the paper contains speculations on what childhood experiences will lead to various types of predispositions, such as for a criminal, drug addict, or a professional teacher, physician, lawyer role. The last section deals with the socializing dynamics that develop roles and the failures of these dynamics associated with poverty. Part 1: A two-stage model of role development. Introduction. How do people turn out the way they are in adult life? Many believe that individuals are born with genetic predispositions to develop certain roles. This is because, in many cases, it is very difficult to explain why one individual turned out to be an X and another from a similar childhood background a Y. This two-stage model explains how this can happen from various environmental factors. From the perspective of this model, role development is the result of two stages. More precisely, this model deals with roles that can be divided into two developmental stages, which is the case with most roles. The first stage is usually in childhood and it involves the development of predispositions for a number of adult roles. The second stage is the actual development of specific predispositions into roles, which usually takes place in the mid-teens and beyond. Note, occasionally a predisposition for a role can develop in the late teens or in adulthood, but this is unusual. In addition, in rare cases adult roles can develop in childhood, such as a music prodigy or a criminal in his early teens. In such a case, the predisposition develops in early childhood and the role develops in late childhood or the early teens. End of note. The first stage, development of a predisposition for a role. There are many factors that go into the development of a predisposition. Some of these factors are discussed in the two paragraphs that follow. However, it should be kept in mind that all the factors and related dynamics are not necessarily obvious or even known. The child learns certain activities are rewarding and other activities are unrewarding or lead to punishment. As a result, he develops likes and dislikes of various activities, such as studying, sports, aggressive behavior, taking risks, breaking rules, following rules, etc. Keep in mind that each child will learn differently. Some children might learn that aggressive behavior, risk-taking, and breaking rules are rewarding. They may experience such behavior as challenging and exciting. Other children might learn that such behavior leads to punishment. Some children learn that studying their schoolwork will lead to rewards. Others might learn that it leads to frustration. The child develops certain motivations from what was rewarded and what was unpleasant, which will most likely affect the development of his role predispositions. Additional factors that affect the development of predispositions are a child's play, morals, values, how she sees herself, social status, family, neighborhood, and academic performance. A child learns about the various adult roles, which she may mimic when she plays with other children. The child also learns a set of morals and values. Some of the morals and values might be followed in daily life and some may be unactualized theoretical ideals. She learns to see herself in certain ways that are appropriate for her social status, primarily from the people in her family and neighborhood. People will tell her or suggest in subtle ways what will be appropriate and inappropriate adult roles for her. She also learns from her academic performance at school how to see herself, in terms of her future adult roles. Indeed, a child's academic performance is a primary factor in developing various role predispositions. Thus, from these childhood experiences, certain predispositions for certain roles develop. It is important to understand that a predisposition is essentially the emotional and very basic intellectual prerequisites that are needed for a role to develop. The above includes the morals, values, attitudes, motivations, and basic knowledge needed for the very beginning stages of the development of a specific type of role. The above factors can range from strong to weak. If they are strong, then a strong predisposition has developed toward the role. If they are medium, then the predisposition has medium strength, and if they are weak, then the predisposition is also weak. In the developmental process, certain roles are essentially excluded, which do not have role predispositions, which could be thought of as a predisposition of zero strength. During childhood, certain aversions toward the activities needed for the development of certain roles can develop, or a dislike of a specific role. This can be thought of as a negative predisposition toward a specific role, which can range from strongly negative to mildly negative. In general, the stronger the predisposition for a role, the greater the chances of it developing into a actualized role at some point in the individual's life. Predispositions with zero or negative values will generally never develop into roles. Predispositions are often general and apply to a number of related roles. For example, a child might develop a predisposition for a role in science. If this predisposition actually develops into a role as an adult, her occupation can be a science instructor, writer of scientific subjects, biologist, physicist, chemist, laboratory technician, etc. This isn't to say that all predispositions are general. There are some predispositions that may be quite specific. For example, the majority of Americans develop a specific predisposition for marriage, which is the role of husband or wife. A hypothetical case will serve as a simplified example, which will clarify the idea presented in the above paragraphs. Two children, Donald and John, are brought up in the same neighborhood. Their neighborhood is a very tough and poor environment. Both children are brought up in a one-parent household. Donald and John learn about basic moral values from their mothers and the local church. However, these moral values are not the values that the people in the neighborhood actually live by. Both children learn that these values are theoretical ideals, and they actualize the somewhat aggressive and dishonest ways of the people they meet in the neighborhood. A primary value that is respected amongst their peers and young adults in their neighborhood is bravery and risk-taking. Donald and John actualize this value to a maximum degree. Both children develop a very tough attitude and they get into fights with other children, which they usually win. They usually escape punishment for fighting and are respected by their peers for their fighting ability. Donald and John become interested in combat-like activities, such as boxing, karate, target shooting, playing military games, etc. Both children also become interested in athletics and work out in the school gymnasium. Donald and John do not do well in school. They find school a very punishing and frustrating experience. However, they master basic reading, writing, and arithmetic, and drop out before completing high school. According to this model, Donald and John developed predispositions for a number of adult roles that involve aggression or combat, such as a soldier, a guardian angel volunteer, an amateur or professional boxer, a karate instructor, a mugger, a bank robber, etc. However, it does not automatically follow that any of these predispositions will actually develop into roles, which is explained in the following paragraphs. Second stage, the development of a predisposition into a role. An individual may develop many predispositions, but only a few will actually develop into roles. The experiences that an individual encounters, generally in the mid-teens and beyond, determine which predispositions will develop into roles. These experiences usually take place outside the family, in most modern societies. That is, the development of a predisposition into a role is generally the result of friendship groups, gangs, the military, the college environment, trade schools, religious groups, the job market, etc. Note, in addition, In some cultures, role development might take place more often within the family. There are unusual situations in our own culture where the role develops within the family, such as when an occupational trait is taught to the offspring by the parents and of note thus, the process of a specific predisposition developing into a role is generally determined by the people, groups and organizations that the individual gets involved with in the mid-teens and beyond. The people, groups, and organizations can have various levels of strength in relation to the process of developing roles, which can range from strong to weak. This is discussed in detail in the last section of this paper. The involvement with people, groups and organizations can be the result of random chance in some situations, which is usually the case with lower status jobs and deviant roles. In addition, much of the mate selection process for the role of husband or wife is the result of chance encounters. Often an individual happened to attend a particular event at a specific point in time, which resulted in finding a marriage partner. In general, any involvement must be successful if the predisposition is to develop into a role. For example, if an individual wants to become a lawyer, he must be accepted by a law school and must successfully complete the course of study. This even applies to the most deviant roles at some level. A prostitute must be successful in attracting customers. A drug addict must be successful at financing his habit, finding a source of drugs, and avoiding arrest. A homeless derelict must be successful at obtaining food. The process of role development usually involves the learning of new skills, the reinforcing of certain previously held values, the learning of new values, and the rejection of some previously held ideas. The individual generally learns to see herself and describe herself to others in terms of her roles. The acquisition of the skills and all the other elements of role development take place over a period of time and involve repetition and practice. This practice can be on a conscious and deliberate level, such as a serious music student practicing to become a professional musician. The actions of the music student are planned in advance. However, in certain situations, the learning of the skills and the other elements needed for a role can take place partly or totally on an unconscious and non-deliberate level. A small amount of this type of learning is probably present in most roles. However, much unplanned and unconscious learning is most likely to happen with deviant roles. An example is an individual who is developing the role of a derelict. Such an individual does not usually plan to live on the streets and learn the needed skills. He may find himself without food and shelter and learn to survive on the streets. An important part of role development is psychological and social adjustment to the role. This process of role adjustment involves many factors, and some are explained below. The individual must learn to feel relatively comfortable with the image she projects to the people who see her in her role. In the beginning stages of role development, the individual might feel uncomfortable or embarrassed with this image. People learn to excuse themselves in various ways by using their roles. The examples of the music student and the derelict will illustrate the role adjustment process, which are presented in the following two paragraphs. The music student must learn to perform in front of an audience. She must see herself as a musician, and she must project the right image to the audience. The student must learn appropriate behaviors for stage performances. She also learns to describe herself to others in terms of being a musician. The student learns to explain herself in such terms also. Her excuses may be based on her role of an aspiring musician. She may say, "I cannot attend your party. I have a performance that day. I am sorry, I am late, I had to rehearse for the performance." The derelict must learn to project a non-threatening image, to succeed in begging and to avoid arrest. He must learn to feel relatively comfortable in his role. At first he might be quite embarrassed that he is homeless with dirty clothes. Perhaps he might try to hide this fact from others. As time passes, he will feel less embarrassed about his image. As he develops the fine art of begging, he will consider his image an asset and openly project it to the public. This will further facilitate the development of his role. It will help with his begging and he will have excuses for dirty clothes, sleeping on the street, and asking strangers for money. There are a number of factors that serve to maintain a role as soon as it starts to develop. These factors get stronger once the role has developed and includes personal relationships, a tendency for one role to limit the development of other roles, and addictive-like property of certain roles. The above are discussed in the following five paragraphs. People generally interact on a primary, friendly, personal and non-business level with individuals with similar roles. Primary interactions are also common between individuals with similar role statuses. That is, people tend to make personal friends with others who are in similar occupational roles. People tend to marry individuals who have roles that are similar in status. Deviants tend to form close personal relationships with individuals who are in similar deviant roles. This is partly because of mutual understanding of similar roles and also it is the result of physical proximity. However, there are additional dynamics involved with deviance. Individuals that are involved with deviant roles may have little choice of primary relationships, personal friendships and mates. They may be misunderstood, mistreated and/or rejected by the general population. The attitude of others might be that the deviant does not meet their moral standards for any type of personal relationship. The deviant may simply be considered an individual that would pose risks and major inconveniences if any type of personal involvement was allowed to develop. For example, a prostitute is most likely to have other prostitutes as friends. One of the reasons for this is a young woman in a different field might feel that her reputation would be threatened if she had a friend as a prostitute. Her parents would also most likely be concerned if such a friendship formed. These restricting dynamics apply to most deviant roles and inadvertently serve to reinforce and maintain the role. It is perhaps obvious from the above paragraphs that once certain roles develop, they may exclude or limit the possibility of other roles developing. The strengthening and reinforcing of certain values and behavior can limit the acceptability of the individual for other roles, which serves to maintain the individual in the same role. This is especially true with deviant roles. A simple example is very few, if any, employer would consider a heroin addict for an occupational role, and most people would not consider such an individual for a husband or wife. In addition, there is generally a considerable investment of time in the development and behaviors associated with the role, which limits the possibility of the development of other roles. For example, it takes medical student years to become a doctor. Once she is a doctor, she may spend many hours a day in her practice. This massive time investment certainly limits the possibility of developing other occupational roles. In general, once a role has started to develop or has actually developed, it becomes a more or less permanent entity. The reason for this is partly seen in the above paragraphs, but there are additional factors involved. Once a role starts to develop, habitual behavior associated with the role start to develop. In addition, there are almost always some rewards associated with the role. The rewards may be just to escape from the burden of an unpleasant life, such as with the role of a heroin addict. Or the rewards can partly or totally be financial, as with occupational roles. Thus, the development of habitual behavior patterns and rewards are important components in the developmental process and maintenance of a role. If a role is suddenly terminated, it may cause severe emotional stress, because the habitual behavior and the rewards associated with the role will be interrupted. Essentially, the role becomes an addictive entity. Indeed, sometimes it is a true chemical addiction, such as with a drug addict. However, there is often emotional stress that can be quite severe when an occupational or marriage role is terminated. The role may be maintained simply to avoid the suffering associated with the termination of the role. Note, this can be a real problem when rehabilitation counselors are working with individuals who are in deviant roles. And obviously, the addictive-like response to an undesirable role is a primary difficulty for the individual who wants to make changes to more constructive roles. A way around the difficulty is to help the individual develop non-deviant roles, which would interfere with the undesirable role. This would probably only work if the individual truly wanted to make constructive changes in his life. End of note. To clarify the principle discussed in the previous paragraphs, on the second stage of role development, I will return to the hypothetical example of Donald. Let us assume that Donald happens to meet individuals from the toughest criminal gang in the neighborhood. If given the opportunity, it is quite likely that Donald will join the criminal gang, because of his predisposition in this area. It is also likely once he joins the gang that he will take on the role of a criminal and learn to commit serious offenses. In this process, his values of aggressive behavior will be reinforced, and as he matures, his aggression might be channeled toward economic gain. As he continues in this process of role development, Donald will see himself as an outlaw. He will find rationalizations to justify his criminal behavior. If our hypothetical John was given the opportunity that Donald was offered, it is most likely that he would accept it also because he has the same predispositions as Donald. However, John happens to meet an army recruiter. It is likely that he might be interested and join, because of his predisposition in this area. In the army, John will learn the values, skills and role of a soldier. Thus, Donald will develop into a criminal and John will develop into a soldier. Perhaps, by the time John leaves the armed services, his educational deficiency would be remedied and he would be interested in developing other roles, such as a karate instructor. By this time, Donald might be in prison, serving a long sentence, which could limit his opportunity to develop other roles. If John did well in the army, the possibility of ever developing any criminal role might be reduced or eliminated. The people who knew the two boys would be asking the question why one turned into a criminal and why the other turned into a highly respectable individual. Thus, two individuals who have very similar childhood backgrounds can develop very differently. That is, they may have developed the same predispositions in childhood, but in the mid-teens and beyond they may encounter different experiences as they interact with the society at large. The result is different predispositions develop into different roles of each person. Thus, there can be a considerable amount of unpredictability involved with role development. This was, and is, attributed by many individuals to genetic factors, which is quite wrong according to this model. Note in Chapter 11, the two-stage model of role development is used to explain the development of a specific sexual orientation. This model does not rule out genetic involvement at some level. For example, a ballet dancer may become great because of genetic factors coupled with years of practice. However, the development of the role, which includes the motivation to spend years at practice, is environmentally determined according to this model. There can be individuals that have excellent genetic potential to become ballet dancers, but the predispositions developed in childhood did not include ballet dancing. Such an individual could in theory develop into a lazy overweight housewife, a waitress, a gymnast, or an acrobat. The determining factor would be environmental, not genetic. Part 2. Now this model can be advanced further. More about the first stage, predispositions. If we can explain a number of patterns that lead to specific predispositions, the model will be more useful. To do this in a precise way would take a considerable effort. It would involve the study of the childhood background of hundreds of individuals. However, it is relatively easy to make speculations on the childhood dynamics that lead to specific predispositions. The hypothetical example of Donald and John is a speculation that is probably fairly accurate. To be more precise, a predisposition for criminal behavior can develop under the following conditions. A poor neighborhood, which has many criminal role models. Lack of supervision and guidance from responsible individuals, which is more likely to happen in a single-parent household. Poor school performance, which can be the result of lack of supervision, uneducated parents who cannot assist in the educational process of their children, and a school curriculum that is not designed to rectify the deficiencies of its pupils. Exposure to aggressive behavior, especially when it is not followed by negative sanctions, which can include child abuse, fighting between children, and physical aggression between adults. A child that spends much of her spare time in the street without responsible supervision, which can happen as a result of parents that are not competent, inadequate housing conditions, and lack of appropriate supervised activities in the neighborhood. An important point must be made here. The above is certainly not the only set of environmental circumstances that can lead to a predisposition for criminal behavior. Another set of childhood circumstances that can result in a predisposition toward criminal behavior is an individual who is brought up by parents who are involved with organized crime. The child may learn the basic criminal philosophy and values from his parents. In general, there are probably a number of environmental circumstances that can lead to a development of the same predispositions. I should emphasize that this applies to all types of predispositions. This should not be surprising because we know that there are people from very different childhood backgrounds that can end up in the same adult roles. I will speculate further on the childhood experiences that result in various predispositions for specific adult roles. If a child experiences all of the following, he is likely to develop a number of predispositions for professional roles, such as doctor, lawyer, professor, etc. A middle-class background, with college-educated parents. The child does well in school, perhaps because her educated parents encourage and assist her in the educational process. Her parents teach her to be self-disciplined and a responsible individual. Her parents teach her to respect and actualize the values of middle-class culture. Another example of a childhood background that can produce the same predispositions toward professional roles is quite different from the above. A child that is brought up in a poor family can also develop predispositions for professional roles, even if the parents are ignorant of the middle-class American ways. This can happen if they teach their children to become highly self-disciplined and moral individuals, and strongly encourage academic success. Such parents might put restrictions on their children's social interactions. They may not allow their children to make friends with most of the other children and adults in the neighborhood. This would be especially true if the neighborhood is a high-crime area. They probably would not allow their children to play in the neighborhood unless they were closely supervised by responsible individuals. They are likely to force their children to invest a considerable amount of time studying. Such parents are also likely to emphasize that success is likely to happen as a result of studying. They are likely to encourage their children and emphasize that academic success in college will lead them out of poverty. Such parents are likely to have a very positive attitude toward their children and form close relationships with them. They are likely to be very proud of the academic achievements of their children. However, they are likely to maintain strict discipline until their children marry and leave their home. The developmental process of all role predispositions is not necessarily as obvious as the examples given in the above paragraphs. Some predispositions might be very general. A tendency to experiment with whatever life happens to offer is an example of such a predisposition. The childhood development of such a predisposition, in a middle-class family, might appear to be quite healthy. However, whether it develops into a healthy role or a deviant role is a matter of chance. Needless to say, a young adult with such a predisposition could develop serious difficulties if he happens to encounter a group who is involved with addictive drugs or other illegal activities. However, if such an individual happened to get involved with constructive friendship groups and organizations, he might be quite successful in life. If the individual got involved with a drug-taking group and started to use drugs, the psychological dynamics that caused the problem would not be understandable from conventional models of psychology, or from the common-sense psychology of the layman. The parents would not know where they went wrong. The psychologist might try to explain the problem in terms of an abnormal childhood or a stressful lifestyle. However, he would probably find that the childhood was essentially normal, and there was no more stress on this drug taker than on other young people. The psychiatrist might say that this individual was very susceptible to the normal stresses of life, because of unknown and undetectable biochemical abnormalities which facilitated the drug habit. The point is that most likely there are many predispositions that are of a general nature and are not necessarily good or bad. The developmental process of such predispositions in childhood would not appear to be undesirable, but can develop into either deviant or conventional roles in the teens and adulthood. Thus, trying to understand the dynamics which cause the development of a role is not easy. There is a temptation to blame the problem on biochemistry and abuse of childhood, or on society in general. In some cases, one or more of the above could be the cause. However, the point is that there are cases where deviant roles might develop, simply because of certain general types of predispositions, which do not incorporate restrictions toward certain behaviors. When young people with such predispositions encounter a deviant group, there is a chance that they will become involved and develop deviant behavior patterns. More about the second stage, role development. It is necessary to begin this section with a definition. The term socialization means in this paper, the process of learning the skills, norms and values, as it relates to one's role within a group, an organization, or a society. This process can involve formal and informal learning, suggestion, subtle influence of other group members, rewards for proper learning and behavior, punishments for failures and misbehavior. An important component of the socialization process is modeling the behavior of others who are in similar roles. The individual learns about the roles of his superiors and how she is to relate to these higher status people. She also learns about the roles of lower status individuals and how to treat them. That is, the individual learns her place in relation to others and how to carry out her role. Each role that an individual takes on is mastered through this process of socialization. In the following paragraphs, the above concept is used a number of times. Keep in mind the above definition, especially as it relates to developing a role. Just as predispositions have various levels of strength, as was already discussed, the socializing dynamics of groups or organizations also have various levels of strength. The stronger the socializing dynamics of a group or organization, the bigger the chances are that a newcomer with a specific predisposition will actually develop the role and be successful at that role. For example, if students with average qualifications enter a specific medical school and almost all become excellent doctors, that school has very strong socializing strength. On the other hand, if most of the students failed and the few that became doctors were very inadequate, that medical school would have weak socializing strength. If most of the students became average doctors, that school would have perhaps medium socializing strength. A real example of strong socializing strength can be seen in the armed forces. They generally have a fairly high success rate in socializing civilians into soldiers. An example of weak socializing strength can be seen in the New York City public schools in poor neighborhoods. This is most noticeable in the high schools, because of the large dropout rate. A counter-argument to this is that these public schools have poor students, or in terms of this model, the students have weak predispositions for any occupation that requires an education above a junior high school level. Whether the argument or counter-argument is correct is a relative concept, and the point I am trying to make is that the idea of socializing strength is also a relative concept. However, if one starts with the philosophy that the students are poor quality students, then the school escapes responsibility for correcting the difficulty, which also saves money. However, if the New York City Public School looks at the difficulty in terms of its failure to socialize students who are in poverty, then the problem can be corrected by increasing the socializing strength of the schools. Of course, the question arises, how can this be done? The answer is explained in the paragraphs that follow. The socializing strength of a group or organization can be increased or decreased by changing the socializing dynamics. The socializing dynamics can be changed in four ways: strength, direction, method, and environment. This is explained in the following four paragraphs. Primary components of the socialization process are various types of learning, suggestion, rewards, and punishments. These components can be changed in strength. That is, they can be increased or decreased. One of the simplest ways of increasing the relative impact of these components is increasing the length of time that the individual is exposed to the components. There are other ways that this can be done, but I will not discuss them in this paper because of the degree of complexity involved. The direction of the socializing dynamics relates to what is being taught, the type of socialization by the group, organization, or society, with respect to long-term goals. For example, most middle-class school systems prepare their students for college, which is a direction. The army prepares the recruits to be good foot soldiers, which is another example of a direction. The direction is not necessarily intentionally planned, such as a school system that has a curriculum and policy that causes many of its students to drop out, which is also a direction. Thus, it is perhaps obvious that direction can be changed also. One method of facilitating the change of an undesirable direction of a group or organization is to make all concerned aware of the undesirable impact of their actions and policies. The term method relates to how the material is being taught to the members that are being socialized into a role. Certain material may be taught by a teacher, and other material might be informally taught by other members of the group or organization. Both correct and incorrect ideas can be taught by peers. Books, television, film, and computers can also be involved with this learning process. Obviously, all of the above can be changed in various ways, but what works better would probably be determined by the circumstances of a specific group or organization. The environment is the physical space where the socialization takes place. It includes the general atmosphere of the physical space and its contents. It also includes the influence of the people in the physical space. The security of the space is also an element of the environment, such as safety from crimes and accidents. The environment keeps out undesirable factors, which can range from distractions, the undesirable influence and actions of non-members, uncomfortable weather, etc. The above factors can be changed in many ways that will modify the socialization process. For example, if the space is small, with good security, a small friendly staff and several newcomers, the socialization process would take place on a more personal level. In such an environment, there is less likely to be dishonest actions, unless it is by mutual consent. On the other hand, if the environment is made larger, with poor security, a large impersonal staff, several hundred newcomers, the socialization process would be less friendly. In such an environment, there is more likely to be dishonesty. The above example was to illustrate a principle in the cause and effect relationships described might not manifest under many conditions. I will show how changing the socializing dynamics can be used to correct a socialization problem, using the New York public schools that serve the poor, as an example. The goal is to increase the socializing strength by changing the socializing dynamics. As already stated, the socializing dynamics can be changed in four ways: strength, direction, method, and environment. Thus, to correct the deficiency in the school system, we can make changes in one or more of the above. This is explained in the following four paragraphs. The strength can be increased by increasing the number of school hours, perhaps from 9:00 a.m. to 9:00 p.m. with rest periods and supervised recreation breaks. The school can be run on a year-round basis, requiring that the students attend school in the summer. The direction can be changed by changing the curriculum, to deal with the problems in the neighborhood and prepare the students for college-level work and professional roles. The method can be changed by requiring that homework be completed in school under the supervision of tutors. Thus, students that need any assistance with homework will have the help immediately available. The school environment can be improved by providing security that is sufficiently strong and prominent that it removes any concern for safety. The environment can also be improved by changing the attitudes of all concerned. This can be done by providing therapeutic workshops to improve the attitudes of parents, students, teachers, and other school employees. Of course, the above was greatly simplified for the purposes of illustrating the basic principle of changing the socializing dynamics. This basic idea, changing the socializing dynamics, can be applied to any agency that is involved with the socialization process and role development. However, in many cases, such as the New York City schools, the issue really is financial, and it is not a lack of effective methodologies to solve the problem. There are many methodologies and models of human development besides the model I presented in this paper. Some of these models are ideas that are simply based on the common sense of the layman. Applying most of the models, including the two-stage model of role development presented in this text, would more or less suggest the same basic actions to solve many of the problems in the New York City schools. Such models would also suggest solutions for other socialization failures that are associated with poverty. Thus, the real reason these problems of socialization failure are not corrected is financial. That is, these problems can be corrected, but paying the bill is the difficulty. Perhaps the right question is who should be held responsible for paying the bill. In the past, when additional money was applied to the socialization process, many sociological problems were reduced or solved. Many individuals developed professional and semi-professional roles as a result. We can see this by looking at history. The government financing of the public school system educated huge numbers of Americans. Most college students receive some type of government assistance, such as government-guaranteed student loans, veterans' benefits for college, and other types of federal and state grants. However, there are segments of our society that are not in a position to take full advantage of such programs. These segments need programs to deal with their special socialization and role development problems of poverty. This obviously would require a source of funding, which does not exist.